to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. The second half of the Monday Financial Power Block, if you will, here on 1490, immediately after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. It covers all aspects of investing and trading, from commodities, stocks, and, of course, cryptocurrency and more. But here, it's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. Well, what happened this week? Well, the price of Bitcoin hit a 13-month high above $9,300 on Sunday. And Facebook's much-anticipated cryptocurrency project will be unveiled this week. Binance announces it will be unable to provide service to any U.S. person. And Craig Wright, the controversial creator of Bitcoin SV, claiming to be Satoshi Nakamoto, could be facing jail time for fraud. And actually, that's a Florida court, too. So it's a
Lock him up.
Yes, that'll be at all the rallies in 2020, I'm pretty sure. But finally, a bipartisan issue for the U.S. And, of course, that voice would be none other than... one half of the co-founders of SeekingCryptos.com and, of course, the Talking Market Show with Mark and Andrew. It's the Andrew half of the Talking Market Show, and we know him as Andy. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry.
Glad you could be here.
I am glad to be here. I'm just happy today.
Right. This is really just, because we had Mark for outside the studio, though, for Talking Markets, and now Augie is on leave today.
The grumpy something stock analyst and the grumpy New York Times reader.
But I'm sure he will be back soon.
Well, we hope he's doing good.
Want to make sure I announce that the next Bradenton, Sarasota, all parts near and far, Bitcoin, blockchain, business development, cryptocurrency, and more meetup is going to be Thursday, August 1st at 6 p.m. That's at the South County Library in Manatee County on 26th Street, just almost at the corner of Bayshore Gardens Parkway and 26th Street West. That'll be August 1st. I'm sure we'll tell you again about it, but you can go to meetup.com or elsewhere and get more information on it. But let me slow down a second, because there's actually three different meetups that people may have signed up if they've already previously signed up, and they all should be converging on this date and location: the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup, the Bradenton Blockchain Business Development Meetup, and the Sarasota Bitcoin Meetup. All are invited and welcome to come there, and we hope to have an even, considering the price continues to go up, and if it continues to grow up on Bitcoin, I would say we'll have an even bigger turnout than we did a few weeks ago.
Absolutely. Are we going to have a topic?
It's all the way August 1st. This is June, man.
It's too early for it.
We'll have to exchange an invitation to Leonard and Steve.
That'd be some good stuff there.
Yeah, Steve's been...
Leonard and Steve in the same building.
I did communicate
the
with
library. That would be like the Congressional Library just right here in Bradenton. All the knowledge that would be there.
That would be like having Ask Google in your pocket, only right standing in front of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm excited now.
So, but Steven Lupka, the blockchain developer, he's been real busy with Wall of Coins, I understand.
Oh, great.
And I'm trying to get him to come on and tell us about that, because I don't feel I'm qualified to do it. I just know he's busy.
Now, Wall of Coins, is that...
it's something about how you can get Bitcoin there. That's about all I know. I don't want to say, because I don't want to, with all the goings on that have happened just this week, this is a pretty big week for news, mm-hmm. and we'll get to it in just a second. Things are changing fast very soon here,
yeah.
which would really is redundant. It's going to be changing fast very soon.
Yep.
But maybe I ought to just hit the button here.
I tell you, I've got news for you. Somehow your story just don't bring through. I want to tell you I've got news.
price of Bitcoin hit a 13-month high above $9,300 on Sunday. That would be yesterday. The leading cryptocurrency by market capitalization rose to $9,381, the highest price since May 10th of 2018, according to CoinDesk Bitcoin Price Index. Now, I've been periodically checking, but I haven't since I hit the theme music for this show. Are we still above 9,300 as we speak?
It's been, you know, it's been a pretty volatile today. It's 9,400, then it's down to 9,100. It's just been all over the place. It's 9,250 now.
Oh.
For the moment, it can change. In the, you know, as the, you know how Henry Rank's show is always a boost to the price.
It's so getting even more complicated.
My money's
now
on 9,500 by the time the show's over.
Ah. Well, it was 9,300. During the talking market show, so it's come down, so maybe I'm a drag on the market here.
It was the station identification break.
That was probably it. The 5-minute news at the top of the hour. More, everybody went to sell. More than $19 billion worth of Bitcoin has been traded. Now, I want you to listen carefully how this is phrased. You got the main knowledge that you need to know. We hit 9,300 and it's holding at least for a couple of days here. It's not like all the way down at 8,200, which it was almost a week ago. We're back in those kind of time frames again. But more than $19 billion worth of Bitcoin has been traded across cryptocurrency exchanges in the last hour, according to Messari data.
What? An hour?
Last 24 hours.
Oh, 24 hours. Okay.
According to Messari, it used to be CoinMarketCap. Now, I don't know who Messari data is, but it really doesn't matter because, meanwhile, major exchanges included in the calculation of Bitwise, quote, real Bitcoin trading volume are currently reporting 24-hour volume of 867 million. So, 19 billion, 867 million. Yeah.
Weigh the difference.
Yeah. It's more than I have in any wallet. So I can forcefully say I am not the majority of that 800 million trading there.
Yeah, me neither.
And that would be real volume if I was. So that's not really the big news of this week. We talked endlessly for weeks and months on end about when would one of the big tech giants get into creating their own cryptocurrency. And Facebook seems to be the one that's going to be first to market with it. Facebook's much-anticipated cryptocurrency project, more than a year in the making, will be unveiled tomorrow. Facebook and dozens of partners who the Block identified. The only reason I'm quoting the Block here is there's a little wrinkle down farther in the story about the Block, because, you know, you could have quoted CoinDesk, Cointelegraph, all these other ones. Except there was a little wrinkle. Just stay tuned for that. Anyway, it will introduce the Libra Association.
Now, how did they come up with the name Libra again?
Well, Gemini was already taken.
Oh, okay. They could have Aries.
Well, you've got the Winklevoss twins, the former partners of Mark Zuckerberg, have Gemini. And Libra is also, I believe, an air sign, and my dim astrological memories. So maybe he was taking the next one up on top of them, Gemini. Eat your heart out. Eat my Libra. Anyway.
I was getting one over on the Winklevosses.
They're calling it, quote, a simple global currency and financial infrastructure meant to reach billions of people. According to the introductory, well, I am having trouble with my tongue here, but let me try again.
It's all those billions that are being.
Slap myself upside the head and get my tongue back into joint. According to an introductory blog post viewed by the Block, Libra will be built on the Libra blockchain as blah, 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 what we just said. It's going to be backed by Libra Reserve, a reserve of real assets that will provide cryptocurrency with stability, low inflation, global acceptance, and fungibility. Fungibility?
Yes. I wonder if Facebook stock will be part of that group of assets.
Well,
it could be the S&P.
Yeah, that would be a logical one.
That would be, you know, getting 2%
major stock
dividend.
Assets around the world.
Yeah, you're getting 2% dividend.
How many Chinese assets will be in there?
Probably none.
What? Baidu? Alibaba?
Alibaba's doing a 7-for-1 split?
I think it's 8-to-1, isn't it?
6-to-1, yeah.
Well, it's a bunch. And that's so they can sell it out and dilute it more for you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Libra blockchain will be open sourced under an Apache 2.0 license.
Apache?
Apache 2.0. I don't know what that refers to. As of the day of the announcement, expected to occur tomorrow. According to a blog post by social media giant and originally reported by TechCrunch, this event will signify the launch of the testnet, although it won't be the actual launch of it in real transactions. Now, this was a little wrinkle that I went through all that to say, because it seems as though the block, which this is pulled from, got all this from the blog post, but not because it was sent to them directly. It was sent to major publications over the course of last week in conjunction with detailed briefings, but it was not shared with the block, CoinDesk, or any other major cryptocurrency publications under an embargo by Facebook. According to sources, say the firm didn't want to work with such outlets.
I wonder if they banned Facebook's promotion of this on Facebook.
They revoked that ban.
Yeah, no, I still
right about the same time they announced they were going to go forward. A little bit before the actual announcement, but I tried to boost the show because it's had a tremendous effect on the downloads over the last year for this show compared to what we could do when we could promote it. Because you can't promote it on Google. I don't even think I can promote it on Twitter anymore. But so I have to go back now that they've lifted their ban. You have to go back and get approved. Although they keep sending me ads.
I know.
And not sending me ads, sending
boost.
Me messages.
Oh, yeah, boost.
Yes, you could get a lot more downloads, et cetera. Blah, blah. Well, yeah, I could. All right, but just think about that. They don't want to actually discuss this with the blockchain or cryptocurrency media. What are they worried they're going to have to answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, there's 1.7 billion adults globally who are outside the financial system with no access to a traditional bank. That's a potential market. Facebook criticized existing blockchains. Oh, well, this may give us a clue. Which it claims have yet to reach mainstream adoption, making them poor solutions as a store of value and a medium of exchange. Facebook's belief that it is collaborative, compliant, and regulated approach will help it overcome hurdles faced by other cryptocurrencies. Its governing consortium includes companies spanning technology, digital assets, and retail. They include the likes of custodian firm Anchorage, payments firm Visa, cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase. And I'm looking at the graphic here. So on the payment side, you got MasterCard, PayU, PayPal, Stripe, Visa. On the financial side, Andreessen Horowitz, Creative Destruction Lab. Yeah, I want money from them. Thrive Capital. I see their commercials, I believe. Rivet Capital. Coinbase, Zappo, Bankers. Anyway, it goes on. eBay's there. Uber, Lyft, Spotify.
I wonder Spotify's
Booking
stocks,
Holdings. And small print Facebook. You know, while some cryptocurrency projects have aimed to disrupt the existing system and bypass regulation, the firm believes collaborating and innovating with financial sector, including regulators and experts across a variety of industries, is the only way to ensure a sustainable, secure, and trusted framework underpins the system. The system. Freudian slip almost there.
Facebook is definitely the company you want to trust for privacy. Yeah. And decentralization.
Well, that's pretty much how they've lived.
Yeah. You know, forget Bitcoin. Forget Monero. Those they don't work. Facebook coin will guard your privacy and make sure that, you know.
So much of the last 2 years with this show is me, I don't want to say looking down, but looking skeptically at all the true believers of Bitcoin, all the libertarians. And they were evangelical, almost religious faith of why this idea of decentralized money was so important.
Beyond, it's the vegans of Beyond Meat.
Yes. And to me, I was like, just regulate it so I can make money on my Bitcoin.
Yes.
I want to be rich. That's it. And I still want to be rich, and I still want Bitcoin to be able to make me a lot of money. But it does make me go, maybe I was too quick on my thoughts on all this. Maybe I really need to think that Bitcoin needs to be a parallel system to our financial system. Because we'll just go into the next thing here briefly. This is set along the same line. It talks about the full partners. Okay, so Facebook's charging $10 million to run the nodes of this cryptocurrency. And you have to ask, so why did Visa and MasterCard, they don't need to do more transactions, but why would they want to promote an alternative, I should say, to their transaction and help it but with $10 million? And Stripe and PayPal and those also. And, you know, well, eBay, you know, used PayPal, and that did wonders for both of them. People spend money on Uber, but, you know, they could have taken it. They could just say they're accepted. Because, I mean, just because we have these 100 or so companies that are the nodes, you know, down the street at your favorite restaurant, you know, they'll probably be taking Facebook coin, Libra coin, Zuckerbucks, whatever you want to call
Zuckerbucks.
Them.
I love that. That's what they should have named it, Zuckerbucks.
Yes. Well, I'm sure he would have loved that, too. Actually, I think I may have stolen that from the Bitcoinist here is the source of that. That's Bitcoinist.com. In fact, I just see it here. I don't have it highlighted, but it's right there. Add in a few blockchain-related companies so as not to alienate the crypto crowd. You know, people that are really into freedom and decentralization like Coinbase. Notice Gemini, his old partners, didn't get an offer to be part of this.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't.
I wonder if they're going to carry the Libra coin, the Zuckerbuck. And,
you know, I wonder if you start to see this, you know, this splitting. Amazon to partner with the Winklevoss and J.P. Morgan and American Express. I'm starting to see, and Discover Card. Mm-hmm. So you start to see these splits along the stable coins.
Battle of the Titans.
The Battle of the Titans. Facebook versus Amazon. Who wins that battle? Amazon.
I'm trying to see if I got my right. I thought I had my liner here with release the crack in there.
Yeah.
Because we could have had Gemini. I should have thought this through better. Anyway, it's locked in a folder somewhere. Going down just a little bit farther in this, Gab.com. Now, maybe that's sort of like an alternative Twitter, but it's been shut out of other social media because of their alleged connection to alt-right media and things like that. And I never really had an interest in looking at it before. But now, between what's happening with this, and then they put this out, I guess it was from their actual Twitter account, Facebook, and also Gab, I think, was going to try a blockchain version of Twitter to make it uncensorable. But that must still be in the planning stages.
That's going to be the next evolution. I think you're going to see one. I think
Yeah, I'm like, who needs that? Well, I don't know. Anyway, on their Twitter post,
you're conservative, you need it.
Well, you just need it in general.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which side you are, because you're just going to start getting the edges sliced off, yeah. And then you take a little around the left and more on the right, yeah. Until you get it down to that nice, homogenized middle that can't spend their money on anything without your permission. But anyway, Gab.com wrote this on Twitter. Facebook, Coinbase, MasterCard, Stripe, PayPal, and other gatekeepers of finance and tech establishment want to create a global currency so they can ban you from both spending and making money on the Internet for wrongthink. And if you ever read the book 1984, you would know the significance of that particular term.
Now, what, they're going to ban you from spending money on the Internet for wrong things?
Wrongthink. Wrongthink. So in George Orwell's 1984... I think it's been like literally 40 years since I read it, but my older daughter must have had a very subversive English teacher because that was one of the books that was on her reading list in middle school, and it will scare the crap out of you. But because you got to remember, this was written in either 46 or 1948, before even people had a TV, really.
Absolutely.
And it opens up with a TV in the apartment. And the TV is going, and then the TV starts talking to Winston Smith, the protagonist of the thing, like, do your exercises for the morning, and do this. And everywhere you go, there's a TV that's watching you. And if you haven't, It's very difficult. You should read it now, 1984. So he wrote it almost 40 years before the date of the thing. And when I'm reading it as a 13 or 14-year-old, I'm like, thank goodness the technology doesn't do this stuff. Because, and even when my daughter read it in middle school, the technology wasn't quite there yet. But so they go everywhere, and then they talk. First of all, they control the language. And there are words that aren't allowed to be used. There are ideas, wrong think, that aren't allowed to be presented. They have something called groupthink, which is, it's sort of like what a Madison Avenue person, your average person wouldn't think about. But groupthink is what we're all supposed to think.
Wow.
And, you know, in 1984, it's always been 1984.
You know, it's. I always pictured the Brave New World. You've either read the Brave New World.
I'm familiar with the Brave New World.
Yeah, that's always my picture of the future. Is Brave New World. I wonder if we ever get there. I think that's.
Well, and then on, so Winston Smith finds a woman because relationships are controlled now, and his previous wife, they split up because he didn't follow along to the progressive planner. Progressiveness of the marriage, how they were supposed to create children and, you know, live properly, right thinking in the society. And he gets hooked up with this woman. So they try and find a place away from all the TVs because they're in the park, they're everywhere, you know, place. And they find an old, rundown place where there's no TV. And that becomes their home away from home, where they can actually be themselves with each other. Until
almost sounds like some Ayn Rand stuff.
Until they come to be taken away because there actually is a camera in that room. And they're enemies of the state. And the thing is,
I think we had this called China.
The power of the state is such that they can break. Sometimes they break people just to demonstrate their power of breaking people. And the reason they can break people is they've had a camera on them all their lives, and they know their weakness and their character and their personality, the thing that will make them crumble. Luckily, that'll never happen.
Yeah, never.
Well, let me go right into the thing that we alluded to there without finishing out this part of the story. So one of the things in the last show that I brought up when Andrew and Andy were talking with Mark about this was that there was a new rule that at least reported and may have been existed longer. China, through WeChat and some of the other payment systems, have the most digital payments of any country. They are way down the road on that. They're also way down the road on facial recognition. And they're also way down on a social credit rating, way down the road with that. So a social credit rating would be like your credit rating here, with how reliable you are with your payments. Social credit cuts across everything. How are you in society? Do you get bad reviews from your neighbors in your apartment building? Do you get in trouble? Or do you do things that aren't fitting into the group think of the society?
Yeah. Very scary stuff over there.
Yeah. And their facial recognition has gone beyond there. We have cameras, whether you realize it or not, you should realize it now. If you don't realize it now, you're stupid, really.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that, but you are. If you don't realize it, there's a camera on you everywhere.
Pretty much.
Except, there wouldn't be a camera.
Except
you're
for the
studio,
because I don't think cameras were invented when this equipment was created.
Yeah, so Packard Bell does not have a webcam on it. And so, but the next step on what we were just talking about, controlling whether you can be a part of the financial system, as in, can I go to 7-Eleven and buy a Big Mac? Or no, you can't do that.
A Slurpee. No,
a hamburger and a Slurpee.
Well, can you imagine you go to pay with your Facebook coin, and it goes, oh, you've had your sugar allowance for the day.
Well, in China, you have to pay with facial recognition now.
Uh-huh.
You don't just put your phone there or your card or whatever it is. You don't pay with anything except the ID of your face. Anything over the equivalent of $78 is not allowed to be sold. And
without facial recognition.
According to this article I just read this week, without your facial recognition. And so what happens if they see another term from 1984 was non-person?
Yeah.
The character Winston Smith, where did this turn into an English class? Winston Smith, his job is to go back and correct, because they the one thing that he didn't foresee is they still had newspapers then.
Yeah.
He is to go back in archives and correct stories that don't fit with the current narrative of the way the world is. And once he would go to the archives, which was just like the old newspaper archives where you had a paper, he would cut out the article, typeset something in to fit that space, and, you know, maybe make it about a heroic person of the country that gave his life for the battle or something like that. And, you know, he would have to, he was a writer, technically, and he would create these false stories to fill in the holes in history. And then when you cut out what was there, he had a hole by his desk that he threw it down called the memory hole. And, you know, it would be go down
the memory
to be
hole?
Destroyed. And that would be the end of that memory. So that was his job, and he did it. Nothing like that would ever happen now.
No. You know, this is pushing me more. I've been looking for, you know, I've been looking for some property up in Tennessee, out in the boonies, where nobody's at, where I can just limited. I have to say this. You're gonna like this, Henry. We did a house. Gentleman's name will go unmentioned here. And he actually had RF lead something put all around the house, frequency, so that nobody could hear what he's saying and. You know, they couldn't, and I can't go much further than that. But let me tell you what, when he was talking, a genius of a man, I mean, just a genius, it really scared you, the technology that is out there that can zoom right in and know what you're doing in your bedroom at any one time.
Yeah. And then with
I need to put it around my bathroom.
All that effort of doing it?
Huh?
With him going to all the effort of having that constructed for him?
Yes.
How does he know that the workers weren't corrupted and they put something in there anyway?
And let me tell you what, he's probably going to be on site watching it. But it was very interesting, you know, and everything else. But you see that going that way. It's getting scary. And I think in 10 years, 20 years, privacy.
That long?
Maybe not even that long, but five. I think privacy is going to be a thing of the past. I mean, already everything you do is on Facebook. Look, they destroyed that poor kid over his comments he made, like, on Google when he was 16 years old. You know, that stuff stays with you. And you've got to tell your kids, though, you know, just be careful on that social media.
So back 2004 through 2009, did Morning Drive at this station, 5 years. And back then, AM was a stronger marketplace in Tampa Bay than it is now, but it had a good audience. One of the stories that we talked about was, you know, New York Times, that bastion of liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a subsidiary for doing educational curriculum. And this was probably about 2005. And one of the story was about one of their curriculum was the uses of chipping in individuals. And there were lesson plans for chipping people, microchipping. People, just like your dog, you know, every good responsible pet owner puts a chip in their dog or cat these days. They had a curriculum for grammar school, curriculum for middle school, curriculum for high school. And then there were suggested discussion topics. And for the grammar school, you know, animals. Yeah, people need animals. And then if they were a little more advanced, you might say, well, you know, people that couldn't take care of themselves, you know, not too much. And in middle school, you expand that a little bit. And, you know, then you get to the high school age, more sophisticated, and all the reasons, you know, disaster relief and emergency stuff and all these other things. So if this curriculum were actually implemented in a school system, you know, you would be getting more familiar with it as you went through school system. Now, we're talking 2005, the idea of chipping, putting a chip in you. Which then I thought was a horrible idea. Now I'm like, well, yeah, can you put my phone in me as long as I can get upgrades? And then one of the presenters whoever was doing the article got to a presentation and was asked about resistance to the idea of this. Again, let me back up. This is a New York Times curriculum sold for profit to school systems, perhaps sponsored by some product that would make money on it. No, a real liberal concept. The question was asked, what about when we face resistance? He goes, well, there'll be some people that will resist it. But in 20 years, that generation will be gone.
That's scary now.
Yes. So, remember what you will. You'll be gone. On that happy note, let's go to a break. That's just what a commercial sponsor wants to have as a lead-in. So let's play it for him right there. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bike Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bike Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bike Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bike Federal ATM near you. Go to BikeFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BikeFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show. If you enjoy the trading and investment ideas you hear on Talking Markets with Mark and Andy, then you're going to want to become a member of their SeekingCryptos.com membership service. And you can join for absolutely free. When you sign up for a free membership at SeekingCryptos.com, you'll start receiving analysis and perspective by email on trade examples, cryptocurrencies, stocks, metals, educational content, and exclusive offers. SeekingCryptos.com has something for you advanced traders, too. Check out the premium membership, the expert swing trades, or the quant geeks packages. Seeking Cryptos have skin in the game just like you. They post their trades in real time, and you can follow the results right on their portfolio page. So what are you waiting for? Go to SeekingCryptos.com and sign up for your free membership now.
Alcover Massage has been providing quality massage therapy in Bradenton for over 5 years, and we are proud and excited to announce we've expanded our practice and boutique to a larger facility. Located at the historic downtown Bradenton, we're in a charming craftsman-style building across the street from the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. Alcover Massage offers many treatment rooms, a spacious lobby, and doorfront parking spaces just for our clients. But what we're most proud of is our highly qualified massage therapists offering great service to our valued clients. Availability and instant booking is found at lauraalcover.com. Alcover Massage. Like us on Facebook, 204 13th Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34205. Book your appointments now at lauraalcover.com or call us at 941-592-3187. MN number 34081. MA number 50525.
Yes, it is, if you're talking about Bitcoin, but not in the last few minutes, but it's still pretty high up there. And we expect it to
hold in its own.
Around 250 something?
It is.
9,250, I should say.
Yeah.
Somebody probably just had a heart attack. 250 for Bitcoin.
How about that Canadian?
It's back to 2012.
Yeah.
Well, there's other issues driving that. We're going to leave the Brave New World in the past half hour and move on to what's right around the corner. Binance.com, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, is revamping its internal policies and cracking down on wayward users. That almost sounds like it would fit the previous discussion.
I wonder if Kansas will be their theme song. Wayward son? Never mind.
Wayward users doesn't have a kite to catch line. In updated terms, speaking of old cultural references, in updated terms of use agreement, notably Binance is unable to provide services to any U.S. person. That sounds like a legal term. The news comes less than a day after Binance announced it was formally expanding to the U.S. via a dedicated platform. And previously it said it would strengthen compliance and security packages and use software provider chain analysis for Know Your Customer and anti-money laundering tool provider IdentityMine.
I mean, that's going to be a big hit for them.
Well, I think 25 or 30% of the users are U.S.
It's going to be a big hit for them.
And
you're going to see crap coins go.
I'm sure all those 25 to 30% of users were filing their FBAR statements on their tax returns if they had more than 10,000 there at any one time. So what is this going to really mean, though? It's driving people off Binance where there's a huge selection of altcoins.
We got Bittrex still.
Bittrex has tightened up, too. Bittrex in... it's down here.
They're in the U.S., aren't they?
Bittrex tightened up on what they allow U.S. customers to trade. And then Poloniex is another one that complained that the environment that was being created by the regulations in the SEC was causing them to have less altcoins to sell, and it was affecting their profitability. It makes me wonder who actually trades altcoin. I mean, why do you have to go outside the top 20 even?
You know.
You're looking for that one.
That was so 2017.
Yeah. It was. Coin of the week. Where have I heard that
coin
before?
Coin of the week. Yeah, coin of the week. Amsterdam.
What happened to Dragon Chain anyway?
Dragon. Oh, my God. Actually, I like that platform, but God, it's like 7 cents now. It's sick. It's up at $5 at one point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Bitcoin was 20,000.
Yeah, but it didn't go down that much.
So, but anyway, regardless, they're going to have a U.S. platform, but likely they're going to have the key currencies like Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ether, some of these things that they feel are safe. So it would seem like you got the, and this is a 90-day process, you're going to have money flowing into Bitcoin that was unplanned to flow into Bitcoin a month ago.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As people, you know, cash out of crap coins and go into Bitcoin or Litecoin. I like Litecoin to transfer to I don't know where they
just to get their money somewhere.
Get their money because I mean, think of it. If you're holding a coin that's not going to be you're not going to have access to. What good is it going to be?
Now, after September 12th, users who are not in accordance with Binance's terms of use will continue to have access to their wallets and funds, but will no longer be able to trade or deposit on Binance. So you can move them to a wallet, but if you don't have any place to sell them,
look at them.
Dump them now.
Yeah.
And imagine if we actually looked at some of these things, we would see that in the market.
What Tron's doing recently?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Tron and Litecoin, Tron's founder Justin Sun got the lunch with Warren Buffett, and he is picking his guest list, and his first guest is Charlie Lee of Litecoin.
No. I was hoping it was me.
You would think. Or at least through the poker game.
Yeah.
Well, in other shakeups in the cryptocurrency exchange world, this is a very interesting one. Circle, a fintech startup started and backed by the likes of Goldman Sachs, Bitmain, and Baidu, announced that it would discontinue, or they prefer to say it, sunset, that's a prettier word, its mobile-based payments app, Circle Pay. Pay had been a competitor to apps like Venmo, Cash App, and Revolut. Process would be complete by the end of July, which is not a very long time to wind something down that actually didn't that, like, start as its whole reason for existence.
Yeah.
And then they announced they were going to have cryptocurrency support.
Yeah.
I think that's my recollection of this.
Goldman Sachs screwed that all up.
All users' funds will be returned to the associated bank accounts. No explicit reason was given. Well, they got off the ground in 2013, and then they bought Poloniex, the crypto asset exchange, last year. increasing institutional interest seemed like the future was bright for them all. They even launched the USD-pegged stable coin, USD coin, which is legally audited to prove USD backing. And more recently, Circle cut their staff by 10%, 30 people. That's not good if you're the 30, but it wasn't a major. It wasn't like Bank of America cutting themselves 10%. Jeremy Allaire said that an increasingly restrictive regulatory climate was part of the reason, and they had to remove crypto assets from trading. Here it is. Bittrex was also did that the month that followed. And then Poloniex has had this problem that we just touched on last week. Central Crypto Asset Exchange allowed margin trading, and a leveraged trading system proved unable to function correctly and pay the winning counterparties of a trade. We talked about CLAM, the margin trading for that well-known coin, collapsed with it the long positions to some Poloniex customers. The margin short trades cannot be repaid because the principals were also held in CLAMs rather than Bitcoin. Poloniex made the decision to distribute the loss over all its margin traders, which make up only 0.4 of Poloniex customers, according to the exchange. They were criticized both for, quote, socializing losses and for allowing such highly leveraged trading on low liquidity assets. So I wonder when the news trickled up to Bitmain and Goldman Sachs and Binance about all this. Or Baidu, excuse me, not Binance. Finance was probably like, man, I'm glad I didn't invest in those guys. So you think maybe when you had a cascading effect, when you realized that as a margin trader that you could be right on everything and still get your money taken away from you?
You know what? That's why you do not trade on margin on these. Or
Well, you're under back by Goldman Sachs. What could go wrong?
Nothing.
They must know what they're doing.
Yeah, Goldman's never screwed anybody.
Oh, well, yeah, but look, Bitmain, Baidu backs them, too. These are serious people. They know what they're doing. Jeremy Allaire, I see him all the time on CNBC. Yeah. He wouldn't do something stupid.
They were trading in clams. It's like Fred Flintstone era.
Except back then, you could eat the clams.
Yeah, right?
You can eat your motherboard now.
Yeah.
First the margin traders leave, and then anybody else would have to be thinking, why am I sticking around, too?
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure why the Circle Pay was the first thing they announced to go, because it seems like that, and, you're just paying. That's the only reason people were there, to be on the exchange.
I don't know. There's probably going to be some consolidation. Binance is such a big, they are still the 600-pound gorilla, I think, in the market. Bitfinex, you got Coinbase. And then after that, what do you really have? I mean, have you ever traded on Gemini?
No, I looked at it. I thought about opening an account there. But back then when I was looking at the account, they only had, like, Bitcoin, and I don't even know if they had Litecoin back then.
Yeah,
they had Bitcoin, Ethereum. It was
very
limited.
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's
like
Coinbase.
They didn't need my money.
Yeah. It's Coinbase, Binance, Bitfinex, and then maybe, Bittrex, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how big.
Yeah, it was when I first got my Coinbase account. After that, an early part when you start looking for better deals.
Yeah.
Because then you realize that if you're still using the Coinbase phone app, that
you're
not getting the best deal.
Yeah.
And Gemini had, I really think they only had Bitcoin and Ethereum, and I had Litecoin, so they ruled them out.
And you had to be an accredited investor, because I actually looked for Gemini, too. And you had to be accredited investor. It was so much paperwork. I'm like, really?
Oh, that must have changed, right? You must have looked before I did, and it must have changed, right?
Yeah, I looked, because I tried to get into cryptos forever. I couldn't get in, because I didn't know where to send my money. I'm like, how do you buy anything?
You didn't ask Google?
I did ask Google.
And then
you're looking at
Coinbase?
Somebody, you're like, I don't know. It's a little shady to send, 10 grand. Wire the money. You're like, why can't you do a bank transfer? Oh, you got to wire the money.
Google didn't suggest Coinbase to you? That was the first thing it told me.
When I Googled, it came up Kraken, Poloniex, Bittrex, and Coinbase was, I didn't see a thing for Coinbase.
Maybe I was doing the App Store.
Yeah, and then
that's how I got there.
And when I went on Bittrex, I signed up for Bittrex, and I got everything signed. Do my photo, and you got to shoot a photo of yourself with your photo, and you know all that stuff. Send it off, and then it was like, okay, now how do I get my money in there? Oh, you got an account. Now you got to do all this other stuff. So I went to Kraken, and I did the same thing there. And it was like, oh, you can't transfer money. I'm like, what? How do you get money in here? And then finally somebody who used to be on the show turned me on to Coinbase. And that's I was a little leery even at that, you know, because I was like, this seems such like a scam. And finally got my money into Coinbase.
It wasn't a scam. It was just expensive.
Well, and yeah, and when you transferred your money over, it took like days. So, you know, yeah. It was like, okay, well, I got to do
ACH. Bank ACH.
No, not an ACH. A wire.
Yeah. When I did it, I just started with a credit card, and then I was like, well, that's almost 4% off the top. So then I switched to a debit card, and that was like 1.9% off the top. And then they made the ACH available. And then you had to wait who knows how long. It was 7 days. It was 5 days.
Yeah,
it was 9 days.
Forever to get your money.
And now it's instant.
Now it's instant, yeah. Yeah.
And then I found out about Coinbase Pro. And
hello.
And you're like, how come you don't tell me about this? Oh, yeah, because you got the 4%.
Yeah,
the spread.
Fees, yeah.
So I ran into somebody at the gym who, younger guy, much younger guy, actually. He's probably, you know, 20-something. And he had recognized my keychain when I first checked in one day that had a Bitcoin on it. And he was into Bitcoin. And he had a pretty good knowledge base about it. And then I just saw him a few days ago working at the gym, and I was like, hey, Bitcoin's coming back pretty strong. He goes, yeah, and, you know, we had a brief topic like that. And I said, you use Coinbase Pro, don't you? And he goes, what's that? And you wonder how many people. And I started telling him what the fees were. His eyes got real big, and it's like, I think effectively it's about, because there is enough liquidity on Coinbase, the spread is usually pennies, and then your fee is 0.25% for the transaction, and that compares well with Kraken. Kraken can be just a teensy bit lower, but it doesn't have quite the liquidity either, so you don't always get the same price.
Yeah.
And in the U.S., who do you use? Coinbase still? Coinbase Pro?
That's all, yeah, Coinbase, yeah. And my stuff's locked up in Coinbase's Secure Vault.
I saw that, but what really makes it more secure than my account?
Well, it takes 48 hours before they will withdraw it.
Oh.
And then it will only be, you have to certify the wallet to be withdrawn too first.
Okay.
So, so it's a pain in the butt if you want to transfer.
What happens when you have your fear of missing out?
Yeah, well, you can trade and do all that, go to cash, go to Bitcoin and all that, but if, you know, for me to transfer money to you, let's say I want to pay you in Bitcoin and Coinbase Pro, forget about it. It's 48 hours.
You know, I read their process, and I don't have it in front of me because it was months ago. They actually set up like a secure tent, you know, temporary structure every day. And they bring in the computers to, you know, offline, online, cold storage, et cetera. And they after everything is accounted for, they destroy the laptops and any flash drives that have been used.
Right.
Except for, you know, the ones that get snuck out. No, as far as I know, they destroy everything.
Well, allegedly it's secure, so.
Yeah. Well, Lloyd's of London.
And I think to myself, oh, get a ledger. Okay, I get a ledger and I put it in a safety deposit box. And it could, you know, hurricane comes through and it gets wet and then my ledger's done.
It gets misfiled when the person takes it back in the back and sticks it in the hole where they thought something was.
Exactly, yeah.
It's crazy enough to get into this crypto stuff.
I'm sitting here watching Facebook, and it's still pumping, 191.
And I think it was on this show you said, look at those options, and you went in bought the 190s just a week out?
190s, yeah.
And it was like $15 out of the money? Crazy stuff.
Yeah, you don't know. You normally do not make money on that stuff.
That's the reason it was 20 cents.
Yeah.
All right, Craig Wright, controversial creator of Bitcoin SV, claiming to be Satoshi Nakamoto, be facing jail time for fraud. Documents from a Florida court prove that Wright committed perjury as his defense contradicts an affidavit he previously submitted to an Australian court. So let me try and not read through all this stuff, because there's quite a bit of stuff here. He was in a lawsuit with Ira Kleinman, the brother of the late David Kleinman, who everybody knows, who helped him develop Bitcoin. Kleinman sued Wright for allegedly stealing. I'm going to pregnant pause here so you can get this number. I'm not just going to spit numbers out like I usually did. For allegedly stealing 1.1 million Bitcoin from the company W&K Info Defense Research, a company Wright and David Kleinman founded and operated. So at current market rates, at 9,000 a Bitcoin, rounding, times 1.1 million, well, if you just take the 9, that would be 9.9 million, and then you add three more zeros to it.
$900 million. No, $9 billion with a B.
Yes. That's a lot of money.
$9 billion. You can see on the Forbes
top. You can buy this radio station with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. New equipment here.
So, Wright refused to reveal his Bitcoin holdings and appear in front of the judge in Southern District of Florida. The district ordered him. A lot of things are happening tomorrow. He was ordered to attend a mediation on June 18th, tomorrow, to address the allegations. However, court documents revealed that Wright has committed fraud, according to this interpretation of it, because evidently in an Australian court, after being accused of stealing over $11 billion worth of Bitcoin, probably the price has gone down a little bit, Wright filed a sworn declaration that is incontrovertibly false. Well, anyway, the bottom line is, in a different court case in Australia, and the lawyers over here managed to get the filings, it says, oh, yeah, he was partners in this company, and he did have access to all these Bitcoins, and now his partner's dead, and the Bitcoins are gone. And it even says on the founding documents, and the Supreme Court of New South Wales affirmed the shareholding was 50% Craig Wright, 50% David Kleinman.
Ouch.
Well, it was probably just oversight.
He sells Satoshi coins.
If you had half, which would be 1.1. If you had 2.2 million Bitcoin, and God forbid anything happened to your partner, in your grief, you might forget to distribute it to his heirs. It'd probably take you years to get over the grief. You guys are tight. And, things happen, and you probably forgot about the other court case, and all this stuff is explainable. We got to get out of here. I rolled that right into the next show, and if I don't do something here, we're going to get broken into. So we'll see you next week. It's not-